This Wednesday is Forum Con. As far as we know, growing up, Purim Cotton is the day that Purim was supposed to fall out. Except that we had an extra Adar and Purim was pushed off a month. And we know that there are those who say that it's a day of Simcha. We don't say Tachron on that day. It's a day of some Simcha. And I think in the back of our minds, we think it's probably a day of Simcha because it was supposed to be Purim. Since it was supposed to be Purim, therefore it's a day of Simcha. But it's not good enough because it's not Purim. So I'd like to discuss first from the halacha and Shulchan Aruch, and then maybe we'll get to a little bit what's behind it, what the inyan of Purim Katan is. These halachas of Purim Katan are, interestingly, the last halachas in Aruch Chaim, in Shulchan Aruch. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Tzadik Zayin. It says Yom Yudalud V'Tesvav Sheba Adar Rishon. 14th and 15th day of Adar Rishon, Ein Neuflin Al Pneim, is no Tachron. Ve'ein Oimer Mizma Yancha Hashem V'Yoyim Tzorah, there's no Olam Natsayach. Ve'osar Behesped V'Tainis, and you're not allowed to do Hesped V'Tainis. There's no Hespedim, there's no fast days. Avol Shar Dvorim Ein Noegim V'Hem. But other things, the other mitzvahs, the other things that we do on Purim, like Shalach Manas and Matanis Lev Yoinim, giving Tzedakah, that we don't do. Some say that you're even allowed to do hespedim and ta'anesim. Hagos, the Ramah says, the minig is like the first way, that we don't do any of the mitzvahs, except for that we're makpid not to do hespedim by a levaya and not to fast. There are those who say that the person is chayav, is an obligation to be marbe, to do a lot of feasting and joy, like we do on the second Adar, like we do on regular Purim, on Adar Rishon. The Ein Noyagim Kenan, that's not our minig. The Ramah ends that even though it's not our minig to make a Sudas Purim on the first Adar, Purim Katan, Mikomokem, however, Yarbek Tzas Besuda, we should increase a little bit Besuda, we should increase the Suda a little bit. Kidei lotzei sidei machmirim, in order to be yoitz of those who say that you should make a suda, so you should do at least a little bit something extra. And then he ends off v'toyv leiv mishte tamid, a pasuk v'toyv leiv mishte tamid, that someone who has a good heart, it sounds like at least a simple reading, someone who has a good heart can always make a party. Toyv leiv mishte tamid, so why not Purim? It's not Purim, it is Purim, make a suda. Interesting. We'll get back to that, hopefully. The source of this issue of what to do on the when Yud Dalet Adar is the first Adar, which happens seven times every 19 years, is a Mishnah and Megillah. The Mishnah and Megillah on Daf Vav Amud Beis says, Ein Bein Adar HaRishon LaAdar HaSheni. There's no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar. Elo kriyas haMegillah umatanis leAvyoinim, except reading the Megillah and giving presents to poor people. That's the only difference in Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. The only difference in the two Adars is giving tzedakah and reading the Megillah. So it sounds like everything else we do, all the other mitzvahs of Purim, we do. Just, we don't read the Megillah, we don't give tzedakah to poor people. But all the other mitzvahs of the Megillah, we do. So it sounds like Mishta v'Simcha, we do, Mechuyiv, just like on Purim. It says there's no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, except for reading the Megillah and giving tzedakah. So that means that regarding the Suda, should be a full-fledged Suda's Purim. Full-fledged. There's another issue here that I'm going to avoid the whole shir, because I don't have time for it in this shir, and that's Shalach Manas, is also left out over here. But if you look around the Rishonim and the Mefarshim that I mentioned, you'll find that they discuss Shalach Manas also. But it's a little bit different, so I wanted to... But that's what the Ran says. The Ran says that since it just says Kriyas HaMegillah and Matanis Lev Yainim, so 100% a person should make a Suda, a full Suda Sporim. And you would get drunk also, yeah. And the Taz brings, and others bring, that the Tashbeis used to make a full Suda Sporim. Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis used to make a a full suit is Purim on Purim Katan. I don't know. I don't know about Tainus Esther. Oh, the same, because the four parshas are leading up to Mikra Megillah. There is a discussion in the Gemara. It's not so clear about the four parshas. The Gemara discusses the four parshas. So that's the Shita Saran. So there's a Suda's Purim on Purim Katan. But Taisus disagrees. And Taisus disagrees because of the Gemara on this Mishnah. The Gemara also was curious about the fact that it says that the only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is Mikra Megillah and Matanis Avyayinim. So the Gemara says, it sounds like, but regarding Hesped V'tainis, regarding eulogies and fast days, it would be Aser. You would not be allowed to do it. That's the, right? Because it says that there's only difference between them is Mikra Megillah Matanis Avyayinim. So it sounds like, are you allowed to fast? No, just like you're not allowed to fast on the regular Purim, you're not allowed to fast on Purim Katan. On the Purim of Adar Rishon. So Taisva says that if it was true that you're supposed to make a Suda on Purim, so what the Gemara should have said is, Hala'i Mishnah v'Simcha, they're the same. Why does the Gemara pick out fast days? Why doesn't the Gemara say that Hala'i Mishnah v'Simcha, they're exactly the same? So the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that regarding the Suda, regarding the feast on Purim, they're the same, so it sounds like they're, in that case, they are different. So those are the two sides of the coin over here. The Ramah says that we see from the Mishnah, that it says the only difference is Mikra Megillah Matanis Levyayim, so it must be that there is a Suda's Purim. And Taisa says that you see from the Gemara that the Gemara only points out that they're the same regarding Hesped V'tainis, so it must be they're not the same regarding the Suda's Purim. Those are the two Shitas, and that's what the Ramah says, that the person should be marbik tzas besuda kidei lotzes yidei hamachmirim. In order to be yaitzeh, in order to fulfill both sides, so we don't do a full Suda, because that's not what we hold, but we do a little bit of a Suda. But there's a big problem here in Taisus, and there are other Rishonim talk about. And that is, how do we know that on Purim you're not allowed to fast? So the Gemara and Megillah learns it out from the fact that there's Mishta V'Simcha on Purim. From the fact that we're supposed to make a Suda on Purim, we're supposed to make a meal on Purim, if we're supposed to make a meal on Purim, so obviously we're not supposed to fast. So how could you say that there's no mitzvah to make a meal, but there is also you're not allowed to fast? The only way I know that I'm not allowed to fast is from the fact that I'm supposed to make a meal. It's a big problem. I don't know the answer to this problem, but I saw something in the Yaris Devash from Rabbi Yonis and Ibish. It's an interesting thing, and at least it stimmed. It worked out well with the Shita of Taisvis. The Yaris Devash brings a Yerushalmi that says that the year of Haman's Gzeira, the year of the Gzeira of Purim, the year that Haman wanted to kill out Klal Yisrael, was in Shana Me'uberes, was a year of two Adars. And he says that Haman's plan was to kill them out in the first Adar. He has a whole cheshbon, he works out with the Mis of Moshe Rabbeinu and his Leida and the whole cheshbonus. But he says the year that Haman wanted the Yidden to be killed out on the 14th day of Adar Rishon. That's what he wanted. But Mordechai got the Melchama pushed off to Adar Sheni, as the Gemara says, because he wanted it to be as close to Pesach as possible, because he thought the schus of Pesach would help in the Melchama. So really, they were supposed to get killed out on the 14th of Adar Rishon. Mordechai got it pushed off to Adar Sheni, so they weren't killed out on the 14th of Adar Rishon, but all the miracles happened in Adar Sheni, in the second Adar. So if that's true, so then the way Taisus has Purim set up is very nice. All the miracles that happened didn't happen until the second Adar. So all the Mishta, the Simcha, the Matanis Lavyoinim, the Mikra Megillah, that's all on the second Adar. But the first Adar, we were saved from Avelus. It was the day that we were saved from Avelus. Saif Kol Saif, on that day, the year of the Gzeira Purim, the Yidden were not killed, and they were supposed to be killed. So they were saved from Hesped V'tainis. They were saved from Avelus. So since they were saved from Avelus on that day, so we don't do Hesped V'tainis on that day. But the parties and the Kriyas HaMegillah and the Pirsum HaNes and all the other parts of Purim, that was pushed off to the second Adar, because that's actually when the Nes occurred, of the Milchama and so on. That's what the Aris Devash says. And the Melo, that would be, at least, if not Pshat in Tosis, at least it would stem very nicely with Tosis. The only problem is that I looked up the Yerushalmi, had a very hard time finding what the Aris Devash said in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is a very hard sefer to learn, and it could be I missed it, but it sounds like from the Yerushalmi, and from the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi, and from looking up the Psukim and the Megillah that they bring, that the Yerushalmi does say that year was a Shana Me'uberes, but it does not say that Haman wanted them killed in Adar Rishon. Everyone learns that year was an Adar, there was two Adars that year, and the Sakana, the threat of annihilation, and the Hatzalah, and their saving, both happened in Adar Sheni. In which case, Adar Rishon would be nothing. Agav is just an interesting point. The reason that the Gemara brings it up over there is because a lot of people here are learning Masechta Megillah before Purim. The Gemara talks about if we should make Purim in the first Adar or the second Adar. And the Gemara says that one of the reasons not to make it in the second Adar is because Ein Ma'avir and Allah Mitzvah. If you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you're not allowed to wait. If the opportunity comes up in the first Adar, you can't wait till the second Adar. According to the Yerushalmi, nothing happened in the first Adar. That year, there were two Adars and nothing happened. So I'm not being Ma'avir Allah Mitzvah. Nothing happened the first Adar. That's what the Yerushalmi is coming for. I think, at least, that's what it seems the Pshat in the Yerushalmi is. But in any case, I don't know if we could rely on the Aris Devash to understand Tosfos, because the Aris Devash itself is very hard to read in the Yerushalmi. Okay, so to sum up, Rav Tzadik says a Mahalach over here, in Parham Katan. But to sum up, I want to ask three questions. Just in the issues that we've been discussing, I just want to sum up into three questions. The first question is that there's a... seems to be disjointed, the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Mishnah says, I'm just reviewing. The Mishnah says the Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are exactly the same, except for Megillah and Matanis Lavyanim. It sounds like there is a Sudas Purim. The Gemara says that the similarity between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is that you're not allowed to fast. Sounds like there is no Sudas Purim. How do you reconcile the Mishnah and the Gemara? Question number one. Question number two that we mentioned, that we tried to use Rabbi Yonasan Aibish as the Aris Devash for, is if the whole source of not doing Hesped V'tainis is from the fact that we have Mishta V'simcha, so how could you not have Mishta V'simcha and still have the Isser of Hesped V'tainis? That's question number two. And question number three that Reb Tzadik asks, and it's especially Shver and Taisvis, which is, it's such a good question. It's such a good question because it's such a simple question. He says, when you hear, there's no difference between these two things except for this. So it sounds like basically they're the same. Except there are a few exceptions. What do you mean basically they're the same? They're basically different. There's only one similarity. You can't do Hesped V'tainis. The words don't read. There's no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar except for everything. What do you mean? Except for Shalom Manas and Matanis Lavyayin and Masudas. There's nothing the same, as a matter of fact. The only thing similar is something that we learn out from Mishta V'Simcha. There's nothing the same between them. It should say there's nothing the same about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni except for that you're also Behesped V'Tainis. The terminology is misleading. The terminology of the Mishta is misleading. Yeah, right, maybe it doesn't... Yeah.
Maybe it should be an Amy.
Right, but then all the Amy's wouldn't even be in Megillah. Maybe we need an excuse to bring in all the Engvins. So Reb Tzadik says a very, very interesting mahalach. For the sake of clarity, I'm going to say the whole thing in Taisus is Shita, but if you see it, you'll see that it applies to the Ran as well. It says, if you look in the Megillah, there's a tremendous amount of repetition in the word asiya, doing. It says oisim es yoyim arba'asar, or l'kayim aleim liyos oisim, that they accepted upon themselves to do. Kimu v'kiblu ayhudim aleim azam liyos oisim, that they the klaisim were makabel to do. There's a tremendous amount of times that it stresses the concept that that Purim was a holiday that they accepted to do. So he says the time to do the mitzvahs of Purim is in the second Adar. And that's a sugya in the Gemara. The time to do Asiya, to do Purim, when do we do Purim? We do Purim in Adar Sheni. That's the time to do Purim. He says, but don't think Purim doesn't apply in Adar Rishon. Because the full Simcha of Purim applies in Adar Rishon also, except that you don't do anything. He says, the difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is if we actually go ahead and do. Things that we actually go ahead and do. But regarding what's supposed to be in our heart, the same Simcha that's supposed to be in our heart in Adar Sheni, the same Simcha is supposed to exist in our heart in Adar Rishon. It's exactly the same. Therefore, the Mishnah points out, the only difference in Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is regarding Kriyas HaMegillah, which is something which is an announcement for Rabbim, we don't do, on Adar Rishon. Adar Rishon is for the heart. And Matanis Levyenim, which is giving tzedakah to other people, which involves other people, that's also something that we do. Again, I'm putting Shalchmanis on the shelf for now. He says, Mishnah V'Simcha doesn't mention. Because the Suda, the party, the Simcha of Purim, that's something that we do, but the Iker focus is the Simcha in our heart. It expresses itself in Mishnah V'Simcha. And therefore it's a Chiyuv on the second, and Adar Sheni. But it's the Simcha of Purim exists in our life. So it wouldn't be right of the Mishnah to say that there's a difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, that there's no Mishnah V'Simcha on the first Adar. It's not true. We don't express the Mishnah V'Simcha on the first Adar. But there is Mishnah V'Simcha on the first Adar. The Simcha is there. It wouldn't make sense to say we don't express the Kriyas HaMegillah. The whole Kriyas HaMegillah is expression. But Mishnah V'Simcha is so much what we feel on Purim, that it wouldn't make sense to say that we don't do that on Purim. The Iker Simcha of Purim, he says clearly, the Iker Simcha of Purim exists on the first Adar and on the second Adar. He says, so now we go back to our three questions. It's unbelievable. He says, the Gemara says that the thing that's similar about them is that you're not allowed to do Hespid V'tainis. Because that's an action that you're not allowed to do because it's a stira to what's in your heart. The mitzvah of Purim Katan, the mitzvah of the first Purim, is a mitzvah in the heart. It's a mitzvah of joy in the heart. Its expression, l'maisa, its expression in halacha is, don't do things that are a stira, that are a contradiction to it. Don't fast. Don't eulogize. Don't do things that are a stira to it. But it couldn't say, do mishta v'simcha, because there's no chiyuv to actually do mishta v'simcha. It also answers, we said, how could Taisa say there's no Mishta V'Simcha and there is an Isser of Hespid V'Tainis? Because there is Mishta V'Simcha, it's just Belev. The Mishta V'Simcha of the first Adar is Belev. But if you would do Hespid V'Tainis, it would be a contradiction to what's supposed to be in your heart. You're not supposed to do something on the first Purim. But you're also not supposed to do something that contradicts what's supposed to be in our heart on the first Purim. So therefore there's no Mishta V'Simcha, but you also can't do Hespid V'Tainis. And finally, it answers the Lashon of Ein Bein that we said. There's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni except for these things. Right, because there really is no difference, he says. Because overall, the feeling that's supposed to fill a Yid's heart on the first Adar is the same thing as the second Adar. It's just things that express it outwardly that we don't do. That's the Reb Tzadik's Mahalach of how to work out the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Ein Bein according to Taisus Shita. The problem is, and the reason why it's unsettling, after all is said and done, is because it leaves us with a very strange holiday. We don't have, in Judaism, such a holiday that it's just in your heart. We don't have Pesach Shebelev. We don't have Shavuot Shebelev. We don't have Rosh Hashanah Shebelev. We just have Purim Shebelev. The first Adar, the Hashgacha feared, the first Adar, you should have Purim in your heart. Don't express it in action, just in your heart. What is that? What is that Purim in your heart? Sounds like a strange holiday. And the second thing, just to bring up what we noticed in the in the Ramah that he says a person should make a little bit of sudas to be yaitz to those who say that you're supposed to make a suda on Purim. The toiv leiv, someone who has a good heart, mishta tamid, always partying. What is that supposed to mean? Maybe we should do Purim Katan every month. 14th of every month, we'll make a party. What is that supposed to mean? What's the Tayyib Leib? What does the Ramah mean? So I want to attach to this Rav Tzadik, or Rav Tzadik somewhere else. This Rav Tzadik, he has a sefer called Likutei Ma'amarim. He talks a very, very, very deep shtickle about the two Adars, which I don't understand. It's very, very many pages long. But just, I pulled out a few paragraphs there that are very interesting. But before I do that, I want to give a little hakdama about what Mechias Amalek is. We have a... Purim is a celebration of destroying Amalek. Amalek is just a good... This is a good hakdama, as we'll get into the Purim time of the year. It's a good introduction anyway. Amalek is not just a bad nation that lives somewhere in the world that we have a mitzvah to destroy when Mashiach comes. Amalek represents everything that's evil in this world. Amalek is the king of evil. Amalek is the Yairish of the Nachash. Everything that... All 70 nations have things that rub us the wrong way. Each one of the 70 nations, we've been in Golos by a lot of different nations. Each one has its midah that's difficult for us, that we have to overcome. Amalek is the king of all the evil, all the ra. Everything that could pull us away from Hashem is included in Amalek. And as long as there exists anything in the world that's not 100% closeness to Hashem and 100% goodness, Amalek still exists. The only way to destroy Amalek is when we destroy every remnant of Ra that could possibly exist in the world. And that means that the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, we say every morning in Oz Yashir, we say, "Bayoy mahu yiyya Hashem echad ushmay echad." On that day, Hashem will be one. So the Gemara says, today Hashem is not one. Just on that day, when the Mashiach comes, Hashem will be one, and now He's not one. So the Gemara says, now we see that Hashem acts in two different ways. Sometimes He acts with goodness and kindness. Sometimes He acts in a difficult way, with din, with punishment. Sometimes we have to make a Teva HaMeitiv, we thank Hashem for His goodness. Sometimes, unfortunately, we have to make a Dayan HaEmes, and we have to accept Hashem's judgment when it's difficult. So, there's a lack of unity. We don't see one Mahalach from Hashem. La'asid Lavei is going to be just a Teva HaMeitiv. La'asid Lavei is going to be clear that there is nothing bad. There is no bad. Everything that you thought was bad was just another manifestation of Hashem's good. It was just, we were too blind to see it. Everything that we thought was pulling us in the wrong direction, or was hurting us, or was subjugating us, was really another manifestation, was another expression of Hashem's goodness, and we were just too blind, because in our this worldly eyes, we can't see it. So we perceived it as good and bad, but really it's all one mahalach of good. That's why Amalek can't be destroyed until Mashiach comes. That's why, when does Amalek get destroyed? When Hashem reveals that there's no bad in the world. There is no bad. Everything was a manifestation of Hashem's goodness. Everything that Hashem does is for the good. That erases all evil and all badness from the world completely. Then Amalek disappears. And that's the beginning of that pasuk. It says that Allah said, "Lovey, we're going to go to judge the mountain of Esau. We're going to go to destroy Amalek." That's the hemshich of the Vaya Hashem Lamelech al Kol Haaretz. That Bayayim Ahu Yi Hashem, that's to continue, Bayayim Ahu Yi Hashem Echad Ushmer. When we destroy Esav, that's going to be a time that it's going to become clear there's no two things. Hashem doesn't have two things, good and bad. Hashem just has good. We're just too blind to see in everything His goodness. So some things we see good and some things we see not good. But really it's all Tov. In the world of all Tov, Amalek can't exist. Amalek lives on Ra. If there's no Ra, there's no Amalek. We said this, I think I mentioned it here before, just to review. I mentioned it last week without putting this in, and I just want to fill it in. That we see this idea in the war that Moshe Rabbeinu made with Amalek after After Kriyas Yamsa, the end of Parshas B'Shalach, it says that Vayavay Amalek, Amalek came after the sea split, Amalek came, and Moshe told Yeshua, take Big Tzadikim and go fight a war with Amalek. It's not an interesting tzir, a bunch of people with long white beards going to fight Amalek. He didn't say take strong people. Take Big Tzadikim and go fight with Amalek. So Moshe went to the top of a mountain, and every time he lifted his hands up, they started to win. Every time his hands went down, they started to lose. What's going on over there? So the Mishnah says that every time Moshe picked his hands up, they remembered that Hashem is in control. So they started to win. And every time Moshe put his hands down, they started to lose. Sounds childish. A bunch of tzaddikim going out to fight a war. And if Moshe is not reminding them every second that there's Hashem, they completely forget. Sounds childish. What's going on over there? The answer is that what Moshe was reminding them was not just that Hashem is in control, but that everything that Hashem does is l'tov, which is a very, very hard madrega to reach in this world. Everything that exists in the world is Hashem's doing. There is nothing that's not in the realm of Hashem's goodness. Everything. And that's something that a person in this world can't grasp, because we see goodness and we see bad. It's hard for us to grasp that everything is Hashem's goodness. So when Moshe had his hands raised, and Moshe was inspiring them to reach that madrega, they were able to be on that high level of realizing that everything is good. But as soon as Moshe put his hands down, they went back to the regular level of this world, where there was good and bad. And it's merumas, you see a hint to it in the pasuk, because whenever the pasuk describes Moshe's hands lifted up, it calls it singular, his hand. And whenever they go down, it's v'yidei Moshe kvedes, the hands of Moshe are heavy. And that's because the right and the left always represent good and bad. Right represents good and left represents bad. So when Moshe was lifting his hands up, he was saying, there is no good and bad, it's one hand. But when it came down, v'yidei Moshe kvedes, the hands of Moshe were heavy, then they reverted back to the good and bad. Part of destroying the evil in the world is not just going outside of us and finding evil and destroying it, but part of destroying evil in the world is that each person was created with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. As it says, we have to say, we have our heart is divided. We have two hearts. We have a heart that thirsts for goodness, and we have a heart that pulls us in the opposite direction. And when we say to destroy Amalek, we don't just mean to go out and destroy that nation, Amalek. We mean the same idea within ourselves also. To destroy every remnant of Ra that exists within ourselves. So just like we say that La'asid Lavoi, when we destroy Amalek, we realize that everything that's bad in the world is really part of Hashem's goodness. How that translates into us is that part of the destruction of Amalek is realizing that I don't have two hearts. I don't have part of me that wants to serve Hashem and part of me that doesn't. At the core, at the source, at the Shairish, I'm completely meshubah to serving Hashem. That's what the Gemara says, Ritzaynenu Lassi says, Ritzaynecha, my will is to serve you, Hashem. There are distractions in the world. They're distractions, they distract me from you. But really, there's not good and bad. Every yid is really good. The bad that we have is a distracted heart. But if you'll be able to get down to the core, down to the shayrish, just like the world is kulay tayv, is all Hashem's goodness, the yid is also kulay tayv, is all his desire to be close to Hashem. So when we talk about mechias amalek in the world, it's destroying the concept of evil in the world. When we talk about mechias amalek in our heart, it's destroying the concept of evil in our heart, meaning I don't have part of me pulling me away from Hashem. My whole heart wants to serve Hashem. There are distractions. On the surface, there are distractions. If I can get down underneath the surface, I would be completely focused on serving Hashem. In Masechta Sanhedrin, it lists a bunch of people that have no chelek in Olam Haba. A bunch of people, certain types of Yidden, because of things that they do, that they don't have a share in the world to come. They have no chelek in Olam Haba. The Gemara brings the Darshei Rishumais, that those who were able to darshan hints, remazim, they were able to pick up on hints, they held that they do have a chelik in Eilam Haba. So the Mishnah says they don't have a chelik in Eilam Haba, but the Darshei Rishumais, where those were able to darshan hints, those were able to find hints in the Torah, they saw in the Torah clues that they do have a chelik in Eilam Haba. Even those people that are so far from Yiddishkeit. So what does that mean? Is there a machlaikis here between the Mishnah and the Darshei Rishumais? There's no machlaikis, Reb Tzadik says. Reb Tzadik says the Mishnah is dealing with what Chazal can see. As far as Chazal could see, as far as the people who wrote the Mishnah can see, there are certain people that they just don't see any spirituality that could connect to the world to come. They just don't see it. They're so distant from spirituality, they're so distant from the Torah, that there's just nothing to connect them to the world to come. Ein lam chelik la'ilam haba. The Darshei Rishumais are those that could pick up the clues. They could pick up the hints. They're sensitive to even to things, to very, very, very sensitive simanim and very sensitive clues that you could miss on the surface. They're able to look underneath the surface. And the Darshei Rishumais were able to see, even in those people that on the surface you cannot see any connection to the world to come. No, there's no such a thing as a Yid that's not connected. There's no such a thing as a Jew that's not connected to the world to come. Every Yid is going to make it to Eilam Haba. If you would be able to look underneath the surface, if you would be able to look deep, deep, deep down, you would find that every Yid is able to make it to Eilam Haba. And that's because of what we just said. Because there's no such a thing as a Jew whose heart is bad. A Jew whose heart is bad just means it's encrusted and enveloped and insulated by so much distraction that it's impossible to get to what's inside. But La'ilam Haba, La'asid Lavi, it's going to be revealed that the truth is that even that Yid that was so far from Yiddishkeit and so removed and so distant, even he really wanted to serve Hashem. He didn't know it. He didn't realize it. He didn't understand the messages that his heart was sending him. But even he wanted to serve Hashem. So back to our Purim Katan. The Tzaddik says, the regular Purim, that's for people... that represents people that you can see that they have a connection to Yiddishkeit. You could see they have a connection to Judaism. It's on the surface. And therefore the mitzvahs of Purim are mitzvahs that are on the surface. We do the Megillah, Matanis Lev Yayin, everything that we do on the surface. La'asos, to do. It says Purim Katan represents those people who nothing breaks the surface. They seem dead. You don't see anything. There's no Mikra Megillah. There's no Matanas Levim. You don't see anything. But in order to destroy Amalek, we have to destroy all the Ra. All the evil has to be destroyed. We have to be Megal that every single heart really wants to serve Hashem. But as we said, there's no such a thing as destroying Amalek. If there's any evil left, if there's any Ra left in the world, there's no destruction of Amalek. So that means that Purim specifically demands that not just those who we see connection to Yiddishkeit are connected to this holiday, but even those that we don't see any connection at all. They seem dead, but even those hearts are really tight. Even those hearts are really good. So that's why we have specifically on Purim, a Purim Katan, a Purim in Adarishan, for the added month, and then the regular Purim. So what does that have to do with us? Baruch Hashem, we've broken the surface. Baruch Hashem, on us, you can see that we have a connection to Yiddishkeit. We're sitting and learning Torah. What greater connection to Yiddishkeit is there? This is what I think Reb Tzadik wants when he says that even for everyone, the Avodah of Purim is an Avodah in the heart. It's true that we'll be able to do the regular Purim. We're connected to the regular Purim. Our Yiddishkeit breaks the surface. But even inside of us, we feel those two hearts. Even inside of us, when we're doing that Purim, it's going to be coming, perhaps, from the part of us that wants to serve Hashem. But then there's the part of us that's pulling us away from Hashem. Even inside every person who is alive, who yesh lechelek la'ilam haba, but he has that part of him, that chelek of him, that's not good. But Purim is a zman of mechiyas amalek. Everything that's not good has to be turned to good. Then ahapaychu, everything has to be turned around. Everything that's not good, that's the whole holiday of Purim, is that whatever seemed to be bad turned out to be good. The day that seemed that they would get killed, they ended up killing their enemies. Everything that seemed like a tragedy ended up being a miracle. That's the whole concept of Purim. So that means that even the part of us that seems like it's pulling us away, it's a time to reveal, Purim is a time to reveal that even that part of us wants to serve Hashem. That's Purim Katan. That's why Reb Tzadik says that Purim Katan is not a time for doing. The doing we'll be able to do without awakening that part of our heart. Purim Katan is a time to work in the heart. To focus on, I completely want to serve Hashem. If I go deep enough, if I soul search deep enough, I'll find that I'm completely focused on Hashem. There's nothing else that I want. V'toiv lev means I have one good heart. I don't have shnei yitzrech, I don't have two hearts, levavcha. V'toiv lev, I have one good heart, mishtet tamid, he's always v'simcha. That's what the Ramah brings in the end. That there's an inyan on Purim Katan to be marba v'suda, v'toiv lev, mishtet tamid, someone with who's able to bring out that his whole heart, the whole lev, his whole heart is toiv. Mishtet tamid, he has constant simcha. And that's the person that's shayach to Purim Katan. I think it's a unique challenge, Purim Katan, because as I was thinking about Purim Katan, I was thinking, so maybe I should do something on Purim Katan. They said, oh, right. Or somebody says it's nothing, it doesn't have to do anything. Right, it's just in the heart. So then maybe I should, no, it's just in the heart. You start getting nervous. And it reminded me of something I once heard, that one of the hardest things for us are mitzvahs that are in our heart. Reb Volbe says that this is why you find people that, right after Rosh Hashanah, they're building their sukkah and they're buying a sregem. He's like, you forgot this Yom Kippur? Like before Yom Kippur, they're busy, they're building, buying a sregem. He says, it's hard for us to sit and work in our heart. An esrog is something I can buy. A sukkah is something I can build. That's great, I can do something. But just to work in my heart, that's a little bit more difficult. Action sometimes distract us even from our own heart, which the whole purpose of doing mitzvahs is to awaken our heart. So I think it's a good exercise, if I could use the word, Purim Katan. Purim Katan, the idea is not, actually there's a minute to be marbik tzas pesuta, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, I'm not saying not to do that. But the idea of Purim Katan is not to do, it's to feel. That's the idea, that's the idea of Purim Katan. And I'm telling you, as I'm preparing this shiur, the whole time I'm like, so what should we do? Oh, all right, it's not to do, I have to keep reminding myself. Because our instinct is that it's so much easier to do than to feel. It's so much easier. We're lucky there are people out there that have a tremendous nisayon to do. But for us, it's already a distraction. It's already a distraction. It's so much easier. Think of the mitzvahs that people are mahadrim. People spend so much time spending money and kaychas on the mitzvah of tefillin, on the mitzvah of Shabbos. But you don't find that someone says, I'm working very hard on being mahadrim, my mitzvah of Kabbalah Salamachos Shemayim, of saying Shema properly. It's nothing to do. You just have to be. You have to feel. You have to connect. You have to work on the internals. That's already a very, very hard thing to do. So that's the, I think, is a good hesiris of Purim Katan, besides the fact that the whole yantif is a yantif of getting rid of the foolish parts of our heart and realizing, penetrating a little deeper and finding that if we penetrate deeper, and it's not an easy job, but if we keep trying to penetrate deeper and deeper, we're going to reveal a heart throbbing, pulsating with a desire to be close to Hashem, because that's what's inside the heart of every single yid. But besides for that, also just in a Musar point of view, it's a nice something to think about, to have a day that the job of the day is internal. And let's see if we can accomplish something internally without breaking the surface.